Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Ori Spencer and Rick Schmidt. Today is Saturday, November 17th, year of our Lord, 2018. Hope everybody's having a good morning. Well, folks, just saw on the news where the number of missing out there in California and them fires is up to 1,000 now. 71 bodies or parts of bodies recovered. Real mess out there. People probably deserve your prayers, and well, we'll leave it at that. Like the old saying goes there, but for the grace of God, go I. Okay, we've got Rick and Lori on the line. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
All right, well, we've got a lot of information to cram into a short amount of time. Rick has come up with a list. He's going to do a good part of it. I'm going to talk about one of them. First item we're going to talk about is salt and smoke and bacon. And Rick wrote on here, how much is too much? Good question. Roost out method of gardening. I'll do a lot of talking about that. A sophisticated take on if you don't use it, you lose it. That which is used develops. That which is not, waste away. Hippocrates. I'll say it right eventually. Wet aging. Yeah, that's it. Wet aging your deer or venison at 34 degrees Fahrenheit. We can talk all day about that when the pros and cons of it. Chop squirrels, the way to go. GFCI install, line side versus load side. I think we're in agreement on that one. 25% all goes to 1.5%. Two-thirds of the world works all day for $2. J.P. Morgan, yeah, or a lot less, actually. J.P. Morgan has 700 to 800 tons of silver. That's a lot of metal.
Wonder what that weighs.
Yeah, good question. And are those metric tons, Troy tons, or imperial?
I'll take a small percentage, whichever it is.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, just a couple of tons would take care of me real good.
Sure, yeah, don't be greedy.
Yeah. Ice swim, feel the power of the cold. Rick, that one is all yours.
Of course.
excuse me. Don't rest on your laurels, smoke them. Bay Oral Smoke and the Oracles at Delphi. I know where that's going. Root trainers, Clonex, aspirin, B1, or aloe gel. How about a combination? And Donald Trump is a nationalist, so are we, yes. And I guess we're going to talk about Macron and the globalist. Okay,
well,
Rory and Rick, take it away on the bacon.
Rory, do you have thoughts on that bacon? No?
No?
Well, I do. Go ahead.
You're gonna lose.
You know, some of these days you're gonna lose a gunfight. You know, this is you get. Go ahead.
No, I'm just said silent but deadly. But no.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about bacon this morning. Go for it.
Well, I'm gonna tell you that essentially some of the information that I gave you, which I thought was reliable, was not, and it appears that I have been making. Not only have I been making a couple of mistakes, I have probably advised a few other people to make that same mistake. We need to get that straightened out post-haste.
Okay.
I've done a bunch of research on this. I've already made 20 pounds of bacon. The first was too salty. The second 10 pounds is wonderful for me, but I am still getting comments about it being too salty. Now, So what I've been trying to do is use a static amount of salt and change the amount of time that the bacon remains in contact with the salt, and thereby altering the salt content in that way. And that actually is probably, first of all, it's too difficult to do, and it's probably going to end in one failure after another. The way that this is done is you actually control the amount of salt, and the length of time isn't so important. So I'm kind of doing it backwards. So what actually will occur is, and I've checked the number of sources, and the number, the amount of salt varies, but in short, it's somewhere between 2% and 2.6% by weight. So if you've got a pork belly, a 10-pound belly, and they're all somewhere in that range, you're going to use, so let's say 2.6%, somewhere between 2% and 2.6%. So you're going to be a cup of pickle salt. Pickling salt comes in at 9.63 ounces. So you need to be closer to 5 ounces for that. So that's a half a cup. So I started by using 2 cups. And then trying to limit the time. So that is just way too difficult. So what actually is going to happen is you're going to use more like a half of a cup of salt. And you're not going to be so excited about the amount of time, because that salt is going to be entirely uptaken into the side. And then, so your number, you know, whether or not you want a little more or a little less salt is going to go between 2% by weight, 2.6%. Who knows? You know, down south in Tennessee, where hams and bacon is pretty salty, maybe they'll push it. You know, maybe it goes beyond that. And so the next belly, I've got at least 3 more bellies, maybe 4. The next one I do, I will try, say, 2.6. Now, there is a fascinating video out there by one of my favorite dudes, and for those of you who have been following it, his name is Richard Perkins. He is not just a market gardener. He also raises, pigs, sheep, laying chickens, meat chickens, turkeys, rabbits. This guy, if it is edible, he's got it. And this is how, because he's at latitude 59 degrees, which is just about equal to, you know, the Yukon, you know, his gardening season is fairly short. So he's making tremendous use of greenhouses. But to augment his income, he has got to be able to sell something besides vegetables. And a couple things happened there. We talked about the synergistic aspects between animal droppings and your garden. It's really a symbiosis there.
Oh, yeah.
But his suggestion, he's got a video out there if you want to see it, and I like the video to a point, and it's called Making Epic Bacon, and it's Richard Perkins, a very bright guy. He sells the bacon and all that. However, I do take issue with this smoking technique. They're basically doing what a lot of people are doing, which is using a sawdust material and actually starting a smoldering fire down below the product, whether it's bacon or chickens. And yeah, I'm just not down with that. I just think you're going to get creosote at that point. That's not the way I'd be handling it. My brother managed to lay his hands on a used wood stove that's just basically a metal box. It's one of the less expensive ones. That'll go out in the woods, and I'll have some 6-inch dryer vent so that I can start a raging fire and get essentially cold smoke, and we'll handle that. And I'll trade him for one of those 1911 22s that I'm so fond of. I'll trade him one of those for that, and that'll be like a more than even exchange. Other than that, I really enjoyed his take on it. I think he's corrected my salt problems. My smoke situation, I'm very fond of it. I think I've got that dialed in just right. I like to have, just to recap quickly, I like to have my hickory or apple actually on fire. That way the creosote is being consumed before my eyes. And I know, I know there's no creosote hitting my meat. So that's the way I won't even hook it up. I won't even hook up the tube, or in this case, I won't close the lid until I actually have a fire. I'm not talking about embers, I mean a fire. And then at that point, I'll close the lid and I'll run that meat up to 150 degrees. It's going to take 30, 45 minutes. And that way I've got zero creosote, and all the bacon I cook in the house just smells great. So,
I bet.
For those of you who are thinking about, making bacon, remember, this rule of thumb, somewhere between 2% and 3% by weight. Also, somewhere around 50 to 25% of that is going to be your brown sugar. So if you're using a half a cup of kosher salt or pickling salt or a 10-pound side, you're going to be using about a quarter of a cup of brown sugar. And you might say, well, why wouldn't you use more? Well, it's probably not the best idea because bacon that's got too much sugar on it really tends to burn when it hits the pan. Because
yeah,
that stuff
carbonizes.
It carbonizes. Yeah, it gets funky fast. So I wouldn't over-sugar it. I wouldn't go beyond, half of whatever you're using in salt. That would be your sugar. I wouldn't go beyond that. So, and then black pepper and that kind of thing, that's extra. That's all up to you. However much you want to add, that would be totally on you. That is my disclaimer and my my correction of my ridiculous mistakes. Item number two.
You learn from your mistakes, Rick.
Well,
we all
in this case, I'm going to eat my homework just like a dog, and I'll be thrilled with it. But the next belly that I make up, and the next two, I assume will be close to deli perfect, and those will be the ones I give away to the kids. And so I'll, they'll be happy when I get all this right. I would think. The next thing on the list is that the Ruth Stout method of gardening.
Yeah, this is a
what
subject
did you
that
think?
I found.
What
I found it
think?
Incredibly interesting. And it might be a very, very good fit for me since it involves no digging, other than maybe digging carrots if I planted them or, onions if the ground's soft enough, you can pull right out with this method. But, all right, what we're talking about, folks, is what they call the Roost Stout method of gardening. Basically, what you do is roll out hay on, I say roll out, I'm thinking, big round bales, but you put hay on the ground in the fall, starting initially, 8-10 inches thick.
Yeah, thick.
Right. And then basically you let it sit, until spring. Well, this is the first year. You can go ahead and plant first year. You're not going to get optimal results. But you keep doing this every year, putting this hay down. What you're doing is making a compost. Now, I'm assuming, Rick, it could be grass clippings as well, stuff like that.
Yeah. For most people, a bale of hay is something they can lay their hands on easily. And when you open them up, you really get a lot. There's a lot in there.
Right. You know, I think round bales, if I was to buy one right now, I think they're $30, $35 bucks each. That's, you know, 1,200 to 1,500 pounds of hay.
I was going to say, that you're not unrolling that by hand.
Oh, actually, we do.
Hmm.
Because it's round, you can roll it.
Is that a two-person job?
Oh. Yeah, it's actually pretty easy to roll out.
Okay.
But anyway, folks, what you do is just let this build up. It provides the fertilizer, the microbes. From the videos I watched last night, the earthworms absolutely love it. The result, after seeing what was underneath of it for a few years, reminded me of leaf litter in a forest. How you've got that pack of leaves down from year after year, and if you kick that up, the soil's just as dark and rich and full of worms as anything you ever saw. So apparently this is a good idea. What I like the best about it is it keeps the ground moist. Apparently you don't have to water at all. I suppose you wouldn't a drought, but the one lady I was watching in a film from 1976 said she'd been doing it for 35 years and had never once watered. It's just an amazing system, folks. I'd recommend you research the Roost Out Method on YouTube. Rick, please throw in anything I've missed.
Well, Ruth Stout was an interesting old gal.
I agree.
She was a professional and married rather late in life, probably an independent sort of woman. And after being married a very short time, her husband said, "Would you like to move to the country?" Well, at this point, she's 45. I guess by 1900 standards, she was a spinster at that point anyway. So,
yeah.
She's not a spring chicken here at this point, her idea of it didn't even occur to her to have a garden until she was 45, although she did garden for like the next 45 years. But
right.
The way the whole thing began was one April she was waiting for her plowman to show up to plow the garden, and the guy wasn't showing up, typical contractor, you know. And she just got dismayed, and she went out there and just started planting without it. She just casts her potatoes right out on the ground and covered them with a foot of hay. And the results, her harvest was impressive. But what is actually happening here is something we've talked about a number of times, is that as she continued over the next several years, she built that soil under the hay to the point where her topsoil, there's no telling how deep it was, probably at least a foot. So after a while, casting those potatoes out, she was casting them out on this rich, black, friable soil that, you know, you couldn't even buy if you wanted to.
Right.
For any amount of money, it doesn't. So, of course, you know, when the potatoes hit that, they're like, "Oh, thank you, I'm home." And then she would just cover it with a bunch of hay and then take them out when the foliage started to die.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. We'll start taking calls at the top of the hour. Be right back.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
These are uncertain and very unstable times we live in. We are bombarded daily with the realization that our global economy is on the verge of collapse. Terrorists threaten our way of life and very existence. Natural disasters are increasing to levels never before seen by man. Our overall quality of life is threatened. More and more people are being proactive and are researching how they and their families can survive in the event of any disaster, natural or man-made. Gathering valuable life-saving information and keeping it protected is key to survival. Now, you can keep your valuable life-saving information secure and close for quick access with our Digital Survival Library USB drive. This means no scrambling around to find important information as it is all right in front of you at a moment's notice. For further information and to order your digital survival guide for only $59.95, go to our website, ruralsurvival.info. That's ruralsurvival.info. Do so today. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. We've been talking about a few things this morning already. We were talking about your salting of your baking, and now we're talking about gardening. So go ahead, guys.
With respect to the rootstock method, that is not the only thing that you can plant in that way. What actually happens at that point is when it comes time to plant, you're probably going to say, yeah, so like what happens to the parsley and the dill and all those other things? Well, all she's doing at this point is pulling. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have not tried this method. I've tried, I'm using the no-dig thing, but as far as keeping my beds covered with hay, I haven't. But I will, because it seems like, in my opinion, a natural progression. So when she goes to plant something like seeds, not potatoes, but seeds, she simply pulls the hay back, and her soil is that loose, friable stuff, and she'll clear enough hay back that what she's really got is basically a mulched bed with a row opened up, and she just simply makes a little furrow with her hand, or a garden rig, sprinkles the seeds in, and then pats on that, but even bury them, just pats that with her hand, and then her very old hand, and then she gets the same results that these professional market gardeners are getting, although, to tell you the truth, she was way out in front of them. I mean, by...
Oh, I agree.
Way out in front of them. So that was... And, you know, and the thing about it is, Tim, and I think you hinted at this, but to put a finer point on this, the notion that you've got to get out there and turn the soil. I've been doing this forever. You know, can't plant a garden until you flip over the soil all the way over, like 180 degrees upside down. What they will tell you now is that what you're really doing is just accelerating the burn-off of all of your organic material, which you're actually depleting your soil, and which, you know, if you're planning on using copious amounts of fertilizer to undo that, okay, I get that. I can, you know, I'm fine with it, but you know, you've got to understand that you're also completely destroying the microbial structure down there, and we've talked about that several times.
Oh, yeah.
And that has a deleterious effect on your future work. Plus, not to mention the fact, and this is the obvious thing, you're going to tremendous physical effort to basically ruin your bed. And I can't celebrate that. I could not, in all good conscience, encourage you to do that. What I would encourage you to do is begin building your beds, because they're an asset, just like any other asset you would have, like your 30-30 or buckets of rice. Your mature garden bed is an asset that should be on your profit and loss statement, frankly. But
you know, Rick, I'm wondering if it wouldn't be a good idea when somebody is first starting one of these beds, with putting the hay down, roost out method. I'm wondering, since everybody that I watch was complaining about the compacted soil the first year or two, I'm wondering if it wouldn't be a good idea to till it very finely and then put down the hay and let it set.
Right. There is that out there that what some guys will do is just go ahead and if you've got, let's say, mature pasture or even a yard, I mean, where you've had grass forever, they will go ahead and run a plow through there because, you know, in the first place, let's be reasonable. The microbial structure in your yard, it's there, but it's minimal. You haven't been developing it by adding grass clippings is probably all that's hitting that. So go ahead and bite the bullet, flip it the first year. But do it in the late summer or the fall. Put a compost down. Just go ahead and, you know, I don't care where you get it, how you get it. Put 12 inches of compost down and then cover that with a tarp or with hay. And then all winter long, you're beginning to create that investment I would call a mature bed. And while your harvest might not be stellar the first year, the second, third, and fourth year, they should just get better and better.
Yes.
So, yeah, there are people that my brother went out and put all kinds of money into farm equipment, and I can't stop him. He just is dying to ride a tractor and watch a plow flip ground. And I get that. Boys love boys.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. But at the same time, you know, in a grid down situation, if your job is to create food for a group of people, I don't know.
You don't got time really for that mess.
No, it's no longer a game. And, you know, you've got other things you need to do.
Hey, Rick and Lori, here's our bottom of the hour break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in 3 minutes, and I think our next subject's going to be examination of conscience.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the Real Survival Show here on RBN. We've been covering a few subjects this morning, and you guys were getting ready to go on to another subject. Go ahead.
We were.
You were.
This one is. I want to see where you're going to go with this one. I think I know, Rick, but I'm going to enjoy this.
Okay. Well, good. I'm probably not. First, let me start with a disclaimer. The fact that I may talk about a spiritual subject of any kind does not mean that I'm under the impression that I'm better than anybody or that I have arrived. What I'm doing, and you probably, most of you already know this, I know it for the most part, I'm also preaching to the choir. You guys are always here. You guys all... pretty much know this, but what I am going to do here is I am going to throw out some ideas, and I'm going to try to be of some help and put a finer edge on your pain. That's all I'm doing. And so this is where I will go with this. The Ten Commandments, and I'm only going to do a couple of these right now just because we don't have time to do ten, but What happens is that in Matthew's gospel, we have one of the Pharisees asking Jesus what is the greatest commandment? And he says, well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And then, of course, the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, so then the first couple commandments of the Ten deal with your relationship with God. The next 13, I'm kidding, deal with your relationship with your fellow man. But let's put that aside for the moment. Paul will tell you in Corinthians, he'll say, love is patient, love is kind, it's not jealous, it's not pompous, it's not inflated or rude, it does not seek its own interests. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Okay, so we all have heard the first commandment, I'm the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods besides me. Well,
right.
Okay, so the average person is going to say what? I know there's only one God. You don't have to tell me that. I'm fully aware that there's only one God. I never thought there was more than one God. Okay, I get that. But you know, the problem is that God is probably a little smarter than we are, and he looks at it a different way.
Right.
Are you all addicted to sports? What about drugs, alcohol? How about TV? Have you ever looked at porn? Are you interested in the occult? Do you make a big deal out of the Ouija board? Are you ridiculously prideful about your appearance? What about money and your career? I mean, do you obsess over these things? If the answer to any of those is yes, you're having an issue with the first commandment. So
agreed.
While we all think we're monotheistic, we all think there's one God, the problem is that in our daily lives, as we go about our daily lives, you get up in the morning, you put on your shoes, and you go about your business, we do tend to, if we're not putting things in front of God, we're certainly putting them alongside of him. And, you know, somebody as bright as God may be taking offense to some of this. And what is actually happening is you're damaging your relationship with God when you do these things. So what am I saying here? Well, am I saying you're a horrible person? I am not saying that.
No.
All I'm saying is that, you know, if you're going to wait until your knife is so blunt that you've got to work on that edge for 2 hours to get it back in shape, that is not the way I would handle my knife. I'd rather give it a few strokes every morning. There are a lot of people, believe it or not, that read this entire list every evening just to make sure that their feet are on the path. And so, like I said, I'm not trying to give anybody the impression that I'm better than somebody or that I've arrived. I'm not saying that at all.
No, you're just giving a slightly different perspective.
Yeah, you'll find me somewhere along the path. I mean, if you're going to walk the path, you'll find me somewhere on that path. That's all I would say about that. I would love to think I'm on the path. You know, that's my big deal. There's another commandment, and see, we're not going to do 10. We just don't have time. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, well, I think we all
say kill or murder, Rick.
Kill.
Okay.
Kill. And so
I'm in trouble.
So, you know, not really. Not really, because I think your interpretation is maybe a little more to the point. So you think, well, okay, so I haven't killed anybody. Oh, okay, well, all right. So if you look at it from a scholastic's point of view, you would have to ask these questions of yourself. Am I doing unhealthy things? You know, do I eat pork fat and ice cream to excess? Am I fine with abortion or mercy killing? If you're fine with abortion and you think you're not a murderer, probably you're not going to want to sit down at Thanksgiving with me this week, because it's just going to be a crappy time. Am I careless with other people's lives by texting while I'm driving or drinking while I'm driving? Have I wished or taken revenge? Do I use harsh, abusive language towards other people? Do I bear grudges? An easy one. Do I bear grudges?
Well,
that's a big one for me.
It's a big one for almost everybody, which is exactly why it's a great idea to read over a list, because, you know, what we find here is that in your, by accident, in your innocence, going about your daily life, you transgress the laws, and you're not even necessarily aware of it. So what would be the result if you read this every afternoon or every evening before you laid your head down? When you got up the next morning, after you've done this for a month or two, you're going to start to reorganize your day, and you're going to be more careful about what you do, how you treat other people. You're going to be more popular with other people and with God. So, you know, once again, not telling you what to do, but this is a suggestion. The Eighth Commandment, if we've got a couple seconds.
Yeah, we do.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Okay, well, once again, this is an epidemic, not just in this country, but in others. You think perjury. You think, okay, well, I don't remember putting my hand on the Bible. I'm not sitting in the chair. I'm not committing perjury. But if you were a theologian, if you spent any time with people who do this for a living, they would ask you these questions, and you would actually be obliged to answer them. Have I ever deliberately lied? Have I ever misled or deceived anybody? Have I defamed anybody else's character? Do I make false judgments, or do I harbor false suspicions? Boy, that's a big one for me. I gossiped and ruined another's reputation? Boy, I hate that one. Have I failed to keep promises or to keep oaths? Okay, so bearing false witness doesn't just mean that you've lied on the stand. It means that if you've done any of those things, you have broken the Eighth Commandment. So what's the remedy? Well, you know, if you're Catholic, you can go to confession, and, you know, in 5 minutes you can get this all squared away. But these are the questions that are going to pop up while you're cleaning up your mess. But what they're going to say is the same thing. You're forgiven, but go out there and let's try not to do that anymore. Those are the words you're going to hear. And so,
right.
in your own way, if you'd like, you know, you go over that, and, you know, if this doesn't hurt a little bit, you know, like, you know, say, feel the burn, you know, when you're doing exercises. If you don't feel the burn, and I think you will, but if you read the whole list, you know, you need to acknowledge that you've created some problems. You need to say you're sorry, and you need to, above all things, try to commit to not doing those things tomorrow. Now, is that going to work exclusively? No. People who tend to gossip, you know, that's like it's a personal flaw. It's called a foible, believe it or not, a foible, which is a personal flaw.
Okay.
If gossip is your big deal, you're probably going to have to work on that harder than me. I will have other things that are my foibles, and I will have to hammer those things out, even though I don't really care for it much. Those will be my problems. And so everybody's problems are a little bit different, but what you'll find is as you go through this, you will develop empathy. You'll develop empathy for others because you'll realize they're struggling, and that empathy also breeds humility. And so you're going to find as you go through these exercises that you become far more tolerant of other people's flaws, once again making you far more popular with your fellow man and with God. And that is, I think, unless you have some comment, we could stop there.
Well, the only comment I have is that I absolutely agree with you that everybody has their own flaws, and everybody's struggle with trying to do the right thing will be different.
Right.
You know, and for some people it'll be easier than for others, I'm sure, and for many people it will be harder. All right, well, our next thing is wet aging your venison at 34 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, I've got a whole lot of thoughts on this thing.
Right.
My biggest thing is I don't have a walk-in fridge, and I can't hang something at 34 degrees.
No.
You
know. That's why it's called wet aging. Well, yeah, as opposed to that would be dry aging. Speaking of which, before we do that, let me mention one more thing I forgot to mention about the bacon. At some point, you know, the less salt you add, I mean, you are shortening the amount of time you can hang on to that stuff. And without refrigeration, you know, going down to 2% might be very dicey. You might have to be up closer to 3% in order to hang on to that bacon for any length of time. So,
well, you could also can it, Rick.
Well, you could.
It's a pain in the butt, but I know how to do it.
Oh, sure. Well, and everybody should know. Once again, a skill that should be embraced. But you know, bear in mind that as you struggle to make bacon palatable for 20-something-year-olds, you're also shortening the length of time you can hang on to it. So keep that in mind. Do what you will before the grid goes down. But after that, if you need to run those percentages up to hang on to your meat, you're going to do it. So aging venison, yes. Most people will slaughter a deer, and they'll cut it up, and they'll throw it right in the freezer. Okay, all right, you can do that. That's very common.
Oh, you can.
It's done all. In fact, that's probably what's almost always done. But
that's what I normally do.
Well, yeah, it's what I normally do. But I began to get curious about this because my youngest son's father-in-law, he raves about this guy's venison roasts and his venison steak, and I began to think to myself, how is this guy better at venison than everyone else? Well, I'm going to tell you how. What happens is you don't have a walk-in cooler, so you're not going to dry age nothing. But what they're doing is they're putting the venison in a bag on ice in a big old cooler. And this time of the year, it's a no-brainer because you can put your cooler out on the deck. And, you know, with the ice in it, your ice isn't going to melt every 8 hours like it would in the summer. So
they're keeping
that venison on ice for 2 to 3 weeks. And what happens when you do that is, yes, the blood will get a little stinky, but once that's washed off, the meat, now I've never done this, but I've watched a bunch of videos. So as a professional expert, I'm telling you, same way I told you about the bacon, you wash that off and the meat smells unscathed. So what happens is over the 14 to 21 days is that the collagen fibers, that which makes meat tough, begins to break down, and that is when venison becomes more like filet mignon. So 34 to 40 degrees will do it. You don't want it necessarily under 34, and you really don't want, so obviously frozen is no good. You don't want it over 40, otherwise that's when the meat is going to begin to spoil. So on ice in a cooler is really, this time of the year, is perfect. And that's gonna hold it in that temperature range. But you are looking at, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, anywhere in that range, and that is when you can go ahead, wash it off real good, bag it up, and then freeze it. And now you've got something else. You've got a whole other product, and that is how this guy's a city cop, by the way, is kind of interesting.
This is how he is impressing family and friends by wet aging what is normally not the best meat on the planet.
Okay, well, Rick, we're running low on time, of course, and we're only halfway through the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. We're going to jump to chopping up squirrels.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. So far we've covered a few different subjects, and you guys wanted to talk about squirrels.
Rick?
My fault. Rick, my fault. I got it. My fault.
You got it? You sure?
I got this. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this was your time for the month of forgetting to take it off mute, wasn't it?
Sure. Yeah, I'm chattering away like a chopped squirrel. We were going to talk about squirrel. Squirrel is a big subject for me. Squirrels are everywhere. Very, very available food source for a lot of people, especially if you live anywhere near a tree. But it does, it's not like a rabbit. It does tend to be sinewy, chewy, tough.
Yeah.
It's, yeah,
I can't eat it right now in our normal way of cooking it. I can't chew it.
Foil. Yeah, squirrel on foil. The then you'll like this. There is a method of cooking squirrel that it works every single time, and it yields a very tender squirrel. We have, for my whole life, been used to simply skinning it and gutting it,
right,
just like you would a chicken or a rabbit, and then cooking it in that condition. In other words, with the skeletal system there. And that is generally yields a tough, chewy squirrel.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I like them. You know, I don't mind. I like jerky, too. But there's another way to do it. You don't have to do it like that. There's another way to do it that is just as easy and it works better, and that is to just go ahead, once you've got your squirrel skinned, and gut it, although, frankly, I don't know that you'd have to gut the squirrel, but what you're going to do is you're going to debone this thing. You're just going to just take your, hopefully, your very sharp knife. Hopefully, it's as sharp as your conscience. And you're going to just take the meat off that squirrel and take it to a chopping board, a stump, something like that. And using a hatchet or a sharp knife, just chop this thing into mincemeat. And at this point, if you've got any salt, pepper, wild onions, what you know, whatever you forage, whatever you've got.
Right.
Hopefully shallots. But
that'd
mix
be
that
great.
That would be unbelievable. Chop that into a very fine paste, and then, or chopped meat. Scoop
right.
that into a, looking, should be looking something like hamburger. Scoop that into a hamburger patty, which is going to be a squirrel patty this time, and cook it in this way. And if you'll just go to no worse than medium, just, you know, medium rare to medium, you will have squirrel the way it should be done, in my opinion. Wow,
right.
That was filthy.
Well, Rick, we're at the top of the hour. Ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen,
well,
the call-in number is 800-313-9443. I'd say add some mushrooms to that squirrel patty, too. All right, folks, we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. L5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.